If you open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, and verse 3, the Apostle Paul, he writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Those were the words of the Apostle Paul. And that's what we want to talk tonight about. We want to talk tonight about the fact that, and we make no mistake here, we are at war. You know, maybe we've ended the physical battles here and there, but we are at war, and as long as we live in this world, we will be at war. And war is a terrible thing. War has caused more deaths and troubles in this world than anything else that we could possibly imagine. Just the wars that the United States has fought over the years have claimed over 1,199,554 lives, according to a couple of websites I looked at, and it was kind of remarkable that they had the same numbers. In the physical sense, war has separated families from their loved ones via death. And so war is a terrible, terrible thing. You know, there was a time when man made a bomb. And they made a bomb. 1945, August actually, 6, 1945, when that bomb was dropped. There were two bombs, one on Hiroshima and one on Nagasaki, one on the 6th and one on the 9th. It was a terrible day in the history of man. And the man that had a lot to do with making that bomb, Albert Einstein, he said, "The release of the atom power has changed everything except our way of thinking. And the solution to this problem lies in the heart of mankind. If only I had known, I should have become a watchmaker." You know, you think about those words and you understand what he's really saying. You know, we create this so-called powerful bomb, but it didn't change anything. And sometimes you feel like, you know, you're doing a Bible study or you're talking to someone about the Lord and or you're preaching a sermon and everybody loves it, but they never change. And he said, this bomb, they released the power of the atom, but nothing changed. Because the heart of man didn't change. They'll just keep using bomb after bomb after bomb, getting bigger bombs, more powerful weapons, because the heart of man doesn't change. But you know what is more powerful than the atom bomb? Much more powerful. It's the Word of God. You think about the Word of God because the Word of God has the power to change the way men think. The Word of God has the power to amend a man's heart. It has the power to save souls. So the Word of God is more powerful than that bomb. It's more powerful than any weapon we've ever devised in mankind. And Einstein was very right when he said that, you know, it's the wrong solution. We need to have a bomb powerful enough to change the hearts of men. But we do. We do. And that is the Word of God. Man's bombs kill and destroy physically, but the Word of God has the power to save souls. I want you to, you know, think about Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5 with me. Because of the bomb of God, that powerful word of God that came down from heaven, Jesus Christ, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead were raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. No device of man is able to match that power. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. Can you imagine that? And the dead are raised up. You know, there was a time when the amazing power of God was here on the earth. You think of Matthew 14 and 25. Jesus walked on water. When I lived in California, our neighbor had a swimming pool. And when they weren't home, we used to sneak over there and play in the water. And I actually believed that if I ran fast enough, that I could run across this small section, hit the water, and just go right on over to the other side. I can't tell you how many times I tried that. It never worked. I always got wet. And when we read the account of Jesus walking on the water, we also understand that not only did he walk on it, but he controlled the water. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 41, Jesus was able to say, "Peace be still." He was able to calm the seas and the wind. That's power. And we have that at our fingertips. You know, we are at war. And it's not tanks and missiles that we're at war with. Those aren't the things. It's the war of words. War fought with words. Words that can either save or destroy, depending on the ears of the hearer. In Jude chapter 1 and at verse 5, the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. He was able, by his power, to save them, but when they don't believe, really the word has no power in their lives. This war, the words of men who twist against the word of God. That's where our battle is. That's where we have to take a stand. That's where we stand fast, therefore, as Paul said. In Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual host wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's what our war is all about. We have opposition to us. Right? We have God and his followers. We have the weapon, the most powerful weapon ever devised, the Word of God. And, of course, we have the devil. And Satan's weapons, the most powerful weapon ever devised, the Word of God. He uses that against people who aren't rightly dividing, aren't studying for themselves. He uses that to convince people that the Lord's going to set up a kingdom here on the earth. He uses that to convince people that Jesus already came back in 70 AD. There are people that believe that. And he uses the Word of God to make those points. When you take the Word of God out of context, it's not powerful to save. It is powerful to destroy. Think of the word war as an acronym. The W stands for that power of God, the Word, against righteousness. That's what the devil is all about. You know, the spiritual fight that we often... The fight is often against the word itself. It's often something that we have to contend with people who mishandle the word of God. Peter said, we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were false teachers back then. There were those who came in by stealth, as Jude called them, or Paul mentioned. There were those who tried to twist the word of God and misuse the word of God. There were those who used trickery of men and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. They were there, just like they're here today. But we're fighting a war for something that is most valuable, more than the stars in the heavens, more than the universe, more than this planet, more than me, in fact, more than anything created. We're fighting for souls. And there's arguments on both sides. The war rages on. You know, for example, people mishandle the scriptures, and they do that because of the influence of the devil, of false teachers, Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then you have the faithful over here who says, you see then that a man is justified by not by works only, or justified by works and not by faith only. So now you have these two things, and boy, it's like, well, they're using the word of God. He's using the word of God. So we're just opposing each other using the word of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. So who's right? I've had studies with my own blood brothers who did exactly that. It was like, you know, well, Paul said, this morning we mentioned, Paul said that, you know, Abraham believed God and it was accounted him for righteousness. It has nothing to do with works. And James says, well, yeah, but, you know, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So we're arguing at each other, at war, a battle for our souls, using God's word. It boggles the mind. But who's right? Well, the fact is, God is right. And when we fight this battle, we need to help people understand this. That we are a people who need to let God be true and every man a liar. We need to understand that you can't serve both sides. You can't serve God and mammon. We need to not live according to the flesh, but we need to set our minds on the things of God, on the Spirit of God. You know, you can go back and forth quoting this scripture to combat that one, but what we need to do is rightly divide and bring these things together. It's kind of like the lesson this morning. Abraham believed God. Sure, but how do we know that? Because he did. He left his country because God said, get up, pack up and go. And he packed up and he went. When God told him to sacrifice your son Isaac, and he packed everything up and he took Isaac up on that mountain and he took the knife. You see, we see that faith without works is dead. And yes, we're saved by grace through faith. But when we rightly divide, when we talk to people, remember, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's the power to win the battle. And so we need to agree that all scripture is true. All scripture is breathed by God. And so we need to bring all that together and say, listen, you know, if this verse seems to be contrary to that verse, then either God's a liar or we just don't understand. And we need to come to the meeting of the minds. We need to win this battle for the sake of our souls. And Satan quoting God is nothing new. You remember in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1? We all know that account. The serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field. And what did he do? Right? Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of every garden, planting that little seed? And that brought in that temptation. Right? Even the devil tried to tempt Jesus. All that tempting in the wilderness. You know, you just jump down from this pinnacle up here and the angels will take charge of you and with their hands and they'll bear you up and your feet won't dash a stone. Yeah. But what did Jesus say? The devil was quoting Isaiah. Or Psalms, rather. He was quoting Psalms 91. What did Jesus say? He quoted the scripture. It is written again, and you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You see how that works? But he stopped the devil in his tracks. Because the rightly divided word is much more powerful. We need to be people who are putting on that whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Because listen, nothing else will do. Every word of God is pure, and he is a shield to those who trust in him. You think of that Proverbs. You know, October 30th is coming up here in just a few days, 6 days. On October 30th, read Proverbs chapter 30, and that'll click. But what we need to do is, as we're fighting this war, we need to understand our enemy. We need to understand how to defeat them, and we need to learn to identify the unbeliever's catchphrases. As we look at that, when you read your Bible to someone and they say, oh, well, we don't believe that, then you know you have a battle before you. That's not what we teach in our church. My Sunday school teacher said that's not true. You know, I drove dragged her training school and I drove a girl this might be an old story and I'll just make it short. I preached the Christ to her as we drove, just kind of like Philip and the eunuch. She got in the car, I got in the car, as she's driving and we have opportunity, I would talk about Jesus. She decided that she wanted to obey the gospel. She took me to her house afterward. I sat at the table with her parents with an open Bible and we read the same things I told her, and her dad said, honey, you're saved. You don't need to be baptized. You're already saved. And she said, I am? And he said, yeah. So you don't need to do any of that. Oh. And that's how powerful the devil is. The girl didn't know she was saved, but her dad said she was, so she never obeyed the gospel. At least not to my knowledge. We can't believe that God will condemn good people for such little things. Read the bulletin today. And find out how you answer people who say, you know, I'm a good person and I don't believe that God's going to condemn good people to hell. I just can't believe that. I live a good life. You know, I don't murder, steal. I'm not a drunkard. I don't use drugs. I don't hurt people. I treat other people the way I want to be treated. And so I think I'm going to go to heaven. Read the bulletin today. Because if that's what you believe, you're not. And when you hear those things, you need to run and run and run and run. But listen, you're not running away from them. You need to run to them. You need to teach them the amazing and powerful Word of God, the yes and the yes. People seeking truth and righteousness, they'll listen. The physical war, yes, it separates family, but the spiritual war separates souls from God for eternity. No one's ever been saved, of course, we've said this many times, by the word Jesus. There's a whole world out there, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who all think that because they know how to spell, pronounce, and use the name Jesus in songs and in hymns and in writings and teachings, that somehow that saves them. But they're not saved by the word Jesus. They're saved by Jesus, the Word. That Word that was with God and was God. That Word that was in the beginning. That Word that became flesh and dwelt among men. And it's not just one verse. It's not just a chapter. It's not just a book. It is the whole counsel of God, as Paul put it. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When we're fighting this battle, we need every word, and we need to be able to reconcile, and we need to be able to take, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, and add to that every word of God, the whole counsel of God. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Does it mean to believe in a word? J-E-S-U-S? That never saved anybody. But if you believe in what that word is, what He said, what He taught, what He did, everything, not just preaching the man, but preaching the plan. That's when you have every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's when you win battles. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. New Testament salvation. Listen, this is so simple. It's mind-boggling how the world gets away with saying, listen, there's nothing to it. You're saved by faith alone. Oh, well, gee, I didn't know that, because the only place in the Bible I know of that ever uses the phrase faith alone is, you see how a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And so we have a problem. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ Himself told us what we must do to be saved. New Testament salvation is very clear and very simple. The first thing we have to do is hear via being taught the Word of God. You know, if you have your Bibles open, let's go ahead and turn to the book of John. And if you have the book of John open, and we're looking in chapter 6, and there's something I want you to notice. It should be really clear that the words that are attributed to Jesus are in red. Point number one. Because this isn't even just Paul. It's not just David. It's not just Randy or Robert or anyone. It is Jesus that we're quoting. It's not your preacher, your mother, your father. It's Jesus that you're quoting, that we're quoting. And when that young girl, 16-year-old girl, says, "Oh, I am saved," she said that because her father wasn't quoting Jesus. Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 45, He says this, very simple. He says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned," you see that? Heard and learned. "From the Father comes to me." Now that's the first step to hear the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, verse 17. We all have heard this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus isn't being contradictory to Paul. If we are to have true faith, we need to let God be true and every man a liar. We need to accept the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who died on the cross, the one whose blood was shed, and the one whose blood has the power to save us, said that everyone who has learned from the Father comes to me. We need to be taught. We need to hear and learn. And I understand, you know, that there are those who have ears to hear and don't hear. I understand there are those who have eyes to see and they don't see. And we're going to have to face that. And at some point in time, when you talk to people and you're planting the Word of God, that seed into their hearts, and they just keep rejecting, rejecting, and rejecting, and they keep holding on to what their parents taught, and holding on to what the preacher taught, holding on to what the Sunday school teacher taught, or even holding on to just what they perceive in their hearts. I am saved, and I know I'm saved, and I don't need to do any of that. I felt it. Dave, you have to understand, there's nothing in this world that will convince me that that feeling wasn't real, that I wasn't saved when I asked Jesus into my heart, and I will tell you there is nothing in this world that will ever change your mind, because it takes something that's not from this world to change your mind. Jesus, the Word of God, the power of God. And He said, number one, they shall all be taught by God, therefore everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, you know, it doesn't stop there as we go on. We also understand that we must believe. John chapter 8, verse 24. If you look there with me, John chapter 8, verse 24. Again, wow, mine's in red. In verse 23, Jesus, He says, and it says, and He, Jesus, said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. The power of God's Word did not come from this world. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said that, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him in the last day. The words that I speak will judge him. You see, that's how powerful the Word is. And here we are. The one who is from above, the one who's not of this world. Therefore I said to you, verse 24, you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And listen, believing, the Greek word pistis, I believe, pistuo, it's a word that implies more than just up here, because the word is also translated trust. It's translated faith. And it's translated believing. Because it's a compilation of all those things. Yes, I heard the Word of God. Yes, I know I need to hear and be taught. And yes, I know I need to believe in Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. But use the other words. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I trust Jesus. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust Him when He says, take that step, Peter. Come out onto the water, Peter. And Peter trusted him, and for a while there, Peter was on that water. Do you trust him when he says, roll away the stone, Lazarus come forth? Do you trust him to roll away the stone on your heart? Do you trust him? Not just believe ambiguously or that mental ascent up into heaven. Yes, I believe in Jesus. But do you trust him? Because there's a difference. If Jesus asked you to step out of the boat, would you trust him? Because trust means that when Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized, you trust him, and you know that's what you got to do. When he says you have to hear and be taught, you trust him and you say, oh, I know that's what I have to do because I trust you, Jesus. Belief. Trust. And faith. Faith without works is dead. Do you trust Jesus? And that's what he said there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Of course, John 3:16. You know, whoever believes in him, whoever trusts him, whoever has faith in him will not perish. And the world gets that all messed up. And they just want to eliminate the word trust. They want to eliminate that. And they just want to say it's faith only. All you have to do is believe. Romans 1 and 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. It is power. More powerful than that atom bomb. More powerful than our nuclear bombs. More powerful than any weapon that we have today. More powerful than any weapon that may be in our midst in the days to come. Because the Word of God has the power to hold this world together. The Word of God has the power to burn this world up and cast it into the abyss. And the Word of God has the power to save your soul if you believe and trust that Word of God. So Jesus says we have to hear and be taught, and we must believe. And then he said we must confess him. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 32 and verse 33. Jesus, here it is, read. Are you going to trust these words? I do. Are you going to trust your upbringing? Are you going to trust your heart? Lean not on thine own understanding. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Are you going to trust your heart? Or are your steps going to be the steps of a good man that are ordered by the Lord? And even when you fall, you won't be utterly cast down because you're going to be upheld by the hands of God. Do we trust him? Well, here's what he said. Verse 32 of Matthew chapter 10. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Who is it that denies Jesus is the one who says you don't need to hear anything. You don't need anything. All you have to do is believe. Who is it that denies Jesus is the one that mishandles the idea of believing, meaning that you don't have to trust. Who is it that denies Jesus is people that refuse to accept him. They deny him. When Jesus said, you know, you say you love me, how can you say you love me but you don't do the things I say? Luke 6:46. How do you do that? You say you love me. I assume that means you trust me. I assume that means you believe me. I assume that means you have faith in me, but you don't do the things that I say. Who are you? Who is it on the enemy's side that has such a grasp on you that when you read words like, if you love me, keep my commandments, and you deny the commandments of the Lord. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, again, Jesus, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore into all the nations, making disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I will be with you always till the end. Teaching them to observe everything that I commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always till the end of the age. You don't need to be baptized, the devil says. You don't have to do anything. You just have to have faith in Jesus. Well, then Jesus, of course, said you must repent and be baptized. You know, in Luke chapter 13 and in verse 3. Luke 13 and in verse 3. Jesus simply says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He says it twice there, verse 3 and verse 5. It's in red. I trust Jesus, so I believe I have to repent. What is repentance? You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we read what repentance is. Repentance is being made sorry in a godly way, a godly manner. It's godly sorrow that produces repentance, leading to salvation. And that's a pretty simple, straightforward thing. It's not the sorrow of this world. It's not just the, oh, I'm sorry. It's the sorrow that leads to repentance. I'm sorry I didn't obey you sooner. I'm sorry that I didn't accept your word. I'm sorry, Lord, that I didn't trust you. I'm sorry I put my trust in other men. I'm sorry I put my trust in my own heart. I'm sorry I put my trust in the cares and the pleasures and the riches and the pleasures of this world. I'm sorry that all these years back here and in here, I knew you're the Lord of lords, the King of kings. You are the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one who's omniscient, omnipresent. You're the one that has all power. You're always here with me. And you're omnipotent, all power, omniscient, all knowing, and omnipresent. I knew those things. And I'm sorry that I didn't act upon that. Well, there it is. And then Jesus said, and be baptized. Mark chapter 16 and at verse 16. Jesus simply says that. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I believe in Jesus, but do you trust him? Do you trust the word of God or the word of man? Or do you trust the word of God or your own heart? Do you trust the word of God or your parents? Do you trust the word of God or your teacher? Do you trust the word of God or your preacher? Do you trust the word of God? Because if you do, just obey it. That's all you have to do. Just obey it. And there's one more scripture, and I'll let you go. I appreciate your kind attention. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus says this, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, in the letter of Revelation that was written to the saints there in that first, second century, because there were tribulations. There were a very mean, powerful times coming ahead of them, and they were going to experience those things. But it's something I find really interesting in this, is when Jesus said that indeed the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Yes, one, we talk about wars, physical wars, the atom bomb, nuclear bomb, tanks, guns, weapons, and people die physical death. But that spiritual war, if you lose the battle for your soul, it's not going to be blown up. It's going to be thrown into prison for eternity. It's called hell. For a time, unless the Lord comes that day, you'll spend whatever time in Hades in torment till the judgment. And then you will be separated from God for eternity. And the devil will have won. He will have cast your soul into prison, the prison of hell. But if you remain faithful until death, that crown of life represents eternal life with God in heaven. I hope that helps. When you talk to people, maybe it'll give you some ideas of how and what you can say to them. We song of invitation is song 298. Love lifted me. Would you let love lift you tonight? If you have a need this night for repentance or for baptism to be added to the body of Christ, now is the time. Please, as we stand and sing, come forward if you do have need.